we're doing is not typical or traditional, but what we're doing is biblical, shine a light to make it visible.
We got a remnant, we got a remnant, we got a remnant, we got a remnant on the rise.
Remnant on the rise.
I plead for humanity. Don't be consumed in yourself.
Hello and welcome to Remnant on the Rise. I'm here today with the founder, Sadhana. Hello, Sadhana.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
So we're here today to talk about Remnant on the Rise. So
yes.
Why don't we give your listeners an idea of what this is all about?
Well, basically, Remnant on the Rise is an evangelistic outreach. We do a lot with the homeless. We give back to the youth. I've actually been doing incarcerated youth ministry since I was about 18. And right now I'm 28. I'll be 29 in January. I'm not rushing it. So February 28th was the launch, the official launch. And I threw a worship event. I have a lot of friends who are musicians. They play the drums, play the piano, and they sing worship songs. So they volunteered their time to give back to the cause. And then I had a lot of guests. They came in and they gave a lot of donations. I was actually surprised. The reason for that event was to raise money for blessing bags. So we had bags with shampoo, conditioner, soap, washcloths, and I put them all in plastic, toiletries such as also toothbrushes and toothpaste. So we were able to get together at least 300 of those, and I gave them out at the NSO.
That's
on 3rd Street. So that was the purpose of that. And also, there are many reasons why I started Remnant on the Rise. For one, I was tired of knowing about problems and not being part of the solution. A lot of times we discuss problems and we talk about what needs to be, but we're not actually putting ourselves in a position to be of help. So I got my 501c3 official.
Whoop.
Whoop, whoop. That's my thing. Whoop, whoop. And it's based off biblical principles also, because a lot of times people look at the church and they're like, what's the purpose of the church? All they're doing is judging people, but they're not out in the streets helping. That's why a lot of people don't want to come into the church, or they have a problem with the church being in their neighborhood. It's like, okay, you're here and you're giving us advice about how we should live our lives, but you're not interested enough to be a part of it.
Right.
So one scripture that I love is James chapter 1, verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit the widows and fatherless in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And my mother is a widow. I'm a fatherless child because my father got killed when I was about 5. So I just saw how. And I don't want to blame anyone, because maybe people don't know how to help or what to do. But when things like that happen, the community has to step up and I don't want to say raise, but it takes a village. And so you have to step up to the plate and kind of mentor, because a lot of times the youth don't lack discipline or need more discipline, but they lack mentorship.
Right.
And so somebody could have stepped up and said, you know, this is going on. Let me spend some weekends with them, or let me talk to them, or different things like that. And I'm not blaming anyone, but, you know, this is something.
But I'm saying.
Right. Right.
But I'm saying, you know, come on. You see a lack, you step up.
Right.
And Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, it says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he repay him again. You know, so lending to the poor is like lending to the Lord. God, the creator of the universe, you know, created all of us.
I feel like there are a lot of politicians that claim mm-hmm. to be very theocratic that have not read that part.
Yeah.
They've right. Neither of those parts, actually.
I never hear a lot of these things talked about. It's
right.
All about give, give, give to me, give to me. And that's another thing.
It's all about that tithe.
Yeah. Tithe and offering. But where mm-hmm. is it going?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. You know, I wanted to give to different nonprofit organizations and things to help causes, but I wasn't sure if the money was actually going where they said it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, with me, I want to uphold the utmost integrity with the donations that are given, because people want to do something good, but they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to create a roadmap. This is what you can do. This is how you can do it. Let me make it simple for you. And also let me show you what your donations are doing and how you're making a difference, because one person can't do it alone. A man on an island is nothing. And that's what I never wanted to be. I knew that it wouldn't be me by myself, but sometimes you have to start that movement. You have to create a ripple, mm-hmm. and then the rest of them will follow. Because
right.
Be
the change you want to see.
Exactly. That's one of my favorite things.
Me too. Be the change, man. Like,
yeah.
Somebody's got to do it right.
Exactly.
If you have the heart for it,
do
why
it.
Why not? Get out there and help people.
Exactly. You never know how far it can go. Mm-hmm. And you want it to spread. I don't ever want anything to die with me. So when I started this, I was thinking this will encourage people in other states and other countries and other cities to do the same thing in their own capacity, because we all have our own sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use your sphere of influence where I would never be able to reach somebody, and you're saying, let's go get 10 hot and ready today. And we know it's a lot of homeless people that are under this particular bridge, wherever you are. And you do that, you're making a difference.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about helping people, that's a good start. But actually going out there and helping in any little way that you can. I mean, every little bit, you know, builds and builds and builds. And it starts that change that you want to see.
I can't get it out of my head, because I, like, every time something bad happens and all if I never hear the phrase thoughts and prayers again, I will be really, really happy. That's my point. Like, you changed your Facebook profile picture with a filter. I'm sure those starving orphans are so much more full now. I'm sure that's making a huge difference in their lives that you added a frame around your profile
for
photo.
Show.
That's
for
yeah.
Show.
That's
but no action.
Thoughts and prayers.
And that's what social media has done. It has created a
slacktivism.
False, yes,
slacktivism. I like
love
that word.
I'm coining the phrase. You know, slacktivism.
It's
you know.
That's
I'm at home. Everything can't be done at home on your cell phone.
Right.
You know, there's a phrase that says we are a nation weaker yet wiser. Because we're wiser as far as technology, but we're weaker with the fundamentals.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of people can't sit down for, I don't even want to say 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and concentrate and read a book.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, let me check my status. Let me see how many people liked it. Let me go on Instagram, see how many more followers I have. And then if I don't have any followers, then I'm depressed. Instead of actually taking steps. And then they create this false celebrity. You know, they're taking pictures at the mall with the clothes on, tucking the tags.
There's another phrase. Social media influencer.
Mm.
That phrase can go away.
Influence.
Mm-hmm. No, influencer. Because there are two stories that I love that just recently happened, where one, this lady who's an influencer on Instagram, and she's a personality.
Mm-hmm.
She has like 1.5 million followers on Instagram.
And doesn't sell anything.
And she tried to launch a t-shirt and couldn't meet the minimum order of 30.
What?
That's you not an influencer.
She
then.
Has 1.5 million followers.
You have followers.
And she couldn't sell 32 t-shirts. Couldn't get 32 t-shirts sold.
Oh my goodness.
And then there's a guy who owns an ice cream shop in California who has decided that anytime somebody contacts him about them being an influencer and wanting to review his product, read, I want something for free, he charges them double.
Wow. So she doesn't sell it. See, give me 1 point, whatever.
I'm just laughing because it's just, oh man, this world.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we value.
Exactly.
Their priorities are just wrong. The mm-hmm. things that are valued are skewed. And what you're doing, like talking about community and taking mm-hmm. care of the people that have less or need, you know, need more because they're in certain situations, but yet we're so involved in social media and like this fake reality.
It's fake book.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm on all these things myself, but I also know that exactly what they are and don't, you know.
It doesn't consume you.
Yeah.
You can't Facebook, you have to face life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the That's the thing about it. We become consumed by the devices instead of us controlling the devices. They control us. Because it's like, oh, I can put a picture up and I can get attention. And this is my validation. So what if Facebook...
It's dopamine.
It is.
That
it
little
is.
Rush of dopamine. Woo!
It makes me feel really good. Like when I go shopping and I get stuff that I don't need. And then I'm like, dang, I spent that money. I was tricked. I was bamboozled.
Yes.
It's bamboozled. Just like that. You feel good for a second, but those people aren't... They're not really supporting you.
Nope.
Just because they like a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get more into the community, into fellowshipping with each other, talking, getting together, seeing your face like I see your faces.
And we see your face and we're having this great conversation.
Yeah, that's what we need.
It's a beautiful thing.
Because that's how you develop friendships, that when you go through things, you're not isolated. I think also social media isolates people because you're at home doing it. You could be anywhere on social media, but a lot of times people who don't have friends or don't know how to communicate, they're at home doing this.
Can we make Eddie listen to this episode?
Oh, I mean, yes, we can, but that's not nice.
All right, we have a friend named Eddie who actually I was just giving a bunch of crap to the other day because he was complaining that he's like, I really have no life. And I said, well, dude, here's the thing. The reason why you have no life is because you have friends who invite you out to do stuff and you say you're going to go and then you never go. That's why you have no life.
He's like, no, I would much rather be at home.
He's like,
YouTube.
Well, dude, my inner hermit game is strong. Like, I could be on my couch, like, with my whatever I'm binging and no human contact. Like, that, I'm perfectly okay with that. Like, that's.
So you're an introvert.
Oh, yeah. This
you can be an extrovert.
So what you're seeing now is the fact that I have a theater degree. Like, this is a persona. Like, I run it. So again, I love persons. I hate people.
Okay, I see. I understand.
So, like, run a networking group that has 10,000 people in it. Really don't like people. But I have this. I have
that's
this
because
shell.
That's what you do. But it's not necessarily who you are.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense because it was something that you felt there was a need for, much like what with what you're doing. When you feel that there's a need, there's a void that you are capable of filling.
So I'll put this face on and off we go.
Right.
Cool.
Right,
you
know, exactly.
You do what
but
you
when
have
I
to
go
do.
Home, I'm by myself, getting my introvert time.
Yes.
I get it. I definitely do.
So how long have you been doing this?
Well, I've always had a passion for those who are less fortunate. And a lot of times people look at them like they're not intellectually capable, but it's just that they're people without homes.
Yeah, they view them as less than.
Exactly, right. But that's not always the case. That's never the case, in my opinion.
No, and the sad reality is, I mean, God, I forget what the latest statistic was, but what is it? Something like, I think it was in the 30%, somewhere in the 30-40% range of Americans are one paycheck away.
But you know what's so funny? Like the statistics and how they create them, how you say someone is in poverty, you have to be below $30,000 in income per year. But how they create the amount of one household is, say if it's two people living there, a mother and a son, they'll add up those two incomes and then that'll create whether they're in poverty or not. So if they make less than $30,000 together, they're both not just one or just not one household, but they're both considered in poverty.
Right.
So that goes towards the population of people who are in poverty. So there are actually families who it could be five of them and they are still struggling. And everybody has a job, but it's not enough to pay the bills. Yeah. And they could still be living under $30,000. And they are all, so that's five people going towards the poverty population.
Right.
Not just one household.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting to me. When I was looking at that, I'm like, wow. So that's how you consider what poverty is? But really, a lot of people are paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely. That's unfortunately the way the job market's been going for a lot of people, and even people like myself. Like, I have a 4-year degree, and in psychology, and I went to go be a social worker. And
oh wow,
I did that for about a year, and I was not getting paid enough for what I was doing and the hours that I was putting in, the time and the emotional effort.
Wow,
because I mean, as you know, like when. I have a passion for people as well and for helping people and trying to do what I can to help out. So I was like, social work, it's going to be great. But when you get invested in people and you see how
you
want to
take them home and help them.
Yeah. And then you see how the system is set up for failure for a lot of these people. And it's very, if you're empathetic or sympathetic, it's
draining.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I cried several times while I was a social worker.
Also, you talked about doing
juvenile
ministry for children incarcerated.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a prime example. Like, just it's not just it's that whole once somebody is in the system, the cards are stacked against them from ever getting out of it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Once you get in the system, a lot of those. I could say all of the young men that I've encountered over the years have all been very intelligent, very kind-hearted, and a lot of them don't have parents or guidance. There's a few who do have good parents and good households, and they're just being rebellious. That's a small portion of what I've seen over the 10 years. And actually, that organization is called IYM, Incarcerated Youth Ministry. Bob Kirby and Jenny Kirby run that. I can't remember exactly how many years they've been around, but they service Calumet and Highland Park and also Lincoln.
Okay.
And so they've been doing that for, I believe, something like 30 years.
Wow.
And they take donations. It's all donation-based. And they have volunteers from all different church communities. They're not all from one place. And they come and we volunteer our time. So people come on Tuesday nights and on Saturdays. And then they also do service and they do events for them for like Christmas and things. So sometimes they let the young men get up and sing. And we try to encourage them, uplift them, and let them know that they have something great to bring to the world versus just out there wasting their time committing crimes or being influenced by the wrong people. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But all of these young men that I've met, they always inspire me when I leave. Like, I could go in there having a bad day and I do that and I'm like, wow, I'm uplifted. You know, it's like a double-edged sword.
Well, it helps give you perspective.
Exactly. It's like, what's really important in life?
Mm-hmm.
What's really important? And I have left crying. You know, I try not to cry in front of them.
Right, yeah.
Because I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm coming to encourage you.
Right.
I'm tearing you down, too.
Right.
I have cried, like, because some of them I love, like, I will never forget them. And, like, one young man, he was telling me his story and just how his parents were alive, but they didn't want him. And he was, like, 15 years old, and he had nobody else, and he was just caught up in the system. He had nowhere else to go, and he was a minor. But he was so sweet. I mean, he was so sweet and polite every single time I saw him. And he was just encouraging himself always, just talking and speaking well of his situation. Well, you know, it could always be worse. Or, you know, he always said something positive. And I'm like, when he left, I just broke down in tears. I just was like, and the person was in there with me, because usually it'll be set up like two people per room and in the pods. And so they had somebody over there, and my person left, and I just broke down. And they were like, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, he's so sweet. I wish I had somewhere for him to go.
Right.
You know?
It's like, I wish I could do so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've always had that deep compassion. I thought that it was kind of like a curse, but it can be a gift because I can use my compassion to reach people. And to help people, I can put myself in a position to be able to help. Even when I was a little girl, like, I would see homeless people and I would just cry. You know, like, I could tell you an example. One time, me, my siblings, and my mom, we were walking into a CVS. I had to be like 11 or 12 or something like that. And I saw this woman standing at the front. She had like a cup. She didn't say anything, but I just took everything out of my pocket and I gave it to her. And she was just crying. She said, I didn't even want to ask anymore. I was so down. I was so tired of hearing no. And I just broke down crying with her. And I'm just like, oh, you know. And of course, we were young. So my siblings, they were kind of like laughing at me. But I had a real deep compassion for people who are overlooked.
Right.
You know, who don't have a voice. I want to speak up for the disenfranchised and things like that. So,
well, it sounds like you're doing a wonderful job at it.
Thanks.
So that's amazing. So you also do conference calls every Monday?
Yes.
And is that with Remnant on the Rise, or is that a separate thing?
It's all together.
Okay, perfect.
It's all together. So on my Instagram, I have the conference call number, but I also put it up on my website, ontherise.org. So you dial in. It's people from Texas. It's people from Mississippi. It's people from Ohio that get on, Alabama. People from all over, whoever wants to get on. And I discuss a subject, whatever I'm led to discuss that day. And then at the end, I take prayer requests, questions, comments, concerns. And we kind of all, like, I don't want to say kumbaya around each other, but I feel like it's not about me, but it's about us coming together, because one day I might be strong and then one day I might be weak. But as I'm hearing other people talk while we're coming together on the conference call, I gain strength, and so do they. And so, and then I take the prayer request and I pray at the end to close it out. And I do that every Monday at 9 p.m. That's a way to make myself available.
That's really neat. And I think it gives people who might not have like a support, you know,
exactly.
Like around them, that mm-hmm. that support, which is, you know, it's huge for a lot of people, just to have somebody to talk to or somebody just to listen sometimes.
Exactly. You just want somebody, you just want to know somebody else can see you or right. hear you, because it's so easy to be surrounded by people and still feel alone.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
I have 20,000 people around me, but nobody understands.
Right.
And that happens so often. It's easy to just get in a corner and beat yourself up with your own thoughts and your own words. And that's not healthy.
True.
So we have to, you know,
sometimes you need that good friend that'll whap you upside the back of the head and go,
you're
real?
Not by yourself. Each one has to reach one.
Yes. Huh?
You know, each one reach one. I reach out to you, you reach out back.
Yeah.
You know, somebody could be drowning. I've seen a picture and it was like a hand, and it was all you could see, and the water was surrounding it. And all you saw was that hand. And what if somebody didn't reach out? That person would just drown. But if you do reach out, touch somebody's hand, make this world a better place if you can. I'm not a singer, but that's a song. You know, you reach out, you grab that person, you pull them out of it, and they get to see another day. So I know it sounds so simple, but it could be.
It is so simple, but unfortunately, people don't really see it that way. We mm-hmm. sometimes get too wrapped up in what we're doing in our own lives.
Exactly.
Because, you know, day-to-day life is stressful for everyone. You know, we've got jobs, kids, pets, you know, things that are broken in our houses, you know, just a lot of stuff going on. And it's mm-hmm. very easy to kind of have blinders on to people that are around you that might be struggling.
Definitely.
And sometimes it you just kind of have to step away from, okay, this might be what I'm focused on, but what's going on around me?
Right. What's going on with my next door neighbor?
Right. Let me go check on that friend I haven't heard from in a month or something, you know.
Exactly.
It's difficult to, again, pull those blinders off mm-hmm. sometimes. But once you do, you know, you can put yourself out there and maybe
make
help somebody who needs it. Yeah.
And, you know, even the strong person, you can't make assumptions and think, oh, that person is just okay, because they're always going and they're always overachieving and different things. Like myself, it's like people who really have the gift and ability to encourage other people, you've been down before. So if mm-hmm. you've been down, you know how to pull yourself out of the pit when you don't have anybody else. You can definitely encourage somebody else. That's why a lot of comedians have dark stories.
A lot of,
They have to laugh through it. I know that.
Yeah.
That's why I laugh about everything. Okay.
Hey, you know, when you laugh, you just feel better. So laughing is a good, it's a good
it's
thing.
Medicine. Our buddy Mark Pants. He was one of the funniest guys that we knew and wound up taking his own life. About a year
wow.
ago.
And you see that, like, with, you know, Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say.
Yeah, hilarious, always
very
seems
successful.
Full of joy. But inside, you know.
Fighting.
Yes. So definitely looking out for the strong ones and, the people who are always laughing. That's just looking
that's
out for people.
Yeah.
In general is a good thing.
I know when I get really, really sad, and I recommend this to people and they think it's crazy. When I get down or something, I'm about to find some comedy on YouTube
mm-hmm.
or I'm about to watch a funny movie, because it will lift your spirit like nothing else can.
Absolutely.
You know, there are different methods. Some people listen to songs. There are times when I listen to songs and I'm like, "Ooh, I feel better," you know, or you might just have to go for a jog or whatever you need to do. You need to figure out what that thing is. So when you get in a pit, you can get out if nobody's calling you or different things like that. But that's why we have to communicate and offer that advice and those strategies to other people instead of just keeping it to myself. Like, "Oh, I was able to succeed. Da 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 da. It's all about me." No, but can you tell somebody else how you did it? So maybe they don't know the way and you just might be a trailblazer.
Right. It's always good. Share your wisdom.
Exactly.
Share any wisdom that you have. It's a good thing.
It doesn't matter how young you are. You can't let anybody despise your youth or old age. You know, some people who are up in age, they feel like, "Oh, it's over for me," or "Nobody wants to hear what I have to say." It doesn't matter. Say it. You know,
speak your mind.
The worst death is a silent one. A lot of people suffer in silence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worst thing. Just say it. You know, say what you need. It's like, let me say, I'm not singing that song. Say what you need to say. That's all.
So you said that you have the number for the conference call.
Yes.
On your Instagram. What is your Instagram?
It is Mouthpiece, P-E-A-C-E, number 4, Jesus. Mouthpiece for Jesus. So Mouthpiece is my rap and poetry name. And it just branched over because my mouth is open and I'm talking in so many different ways. So Mouthpiece, you know, to speak peace. I was about to do a poem just now when I said that, because that's in one of my poems is, you know, I'm a mouthpiece to speak peace and to encourage, to uplift, to inform, to teach, all of those things. I use my mouth to speak peace, whereas I can use my mouth to tear people down. Your mouth has power. Mm-hmm. Of life and death. So have you ever heard of Word Girl?
No.
It's a cartoon. I know, right? It's a
I watch cartoons. No judgment.
It's a kids show. Oh my gosh. This is a revelation. And when I watch that with my nephews, whatever the thing is, that's what the word is. So like if it's a chair, it's spelled chair, but the words make up the chair. And we label things what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, Sedona is my name, but that doesn't mean you know who I am by what my name is saying.
Right.
We create our reality based off what we label things and what we label ourselves. So the most important conversation that we don't think about is the conversation we have in our mind, our thought life. So, and then whatever is in your mind and your heart, it comes out of your mouth.
This is true. This is very true.
Your heart speaks for you. Even if you say, "Oh, I don't feel like this," you're going to eventually end up saying something that tells the truth. That tells the truth about what
Accurate.
You feel and what you're going through. So our words are very, very, very powerful. They create our reality. And I would just love to use my words to uplift somebody.
That, and what better way to close the show than with those words right there? That was perfect. Thank
awesome.
You so much for coming on. And what was the website again? So if people want to find you and help out
okay.
in any way, how can they get in touch with you? We got your Instagram and you have a website.
Mm-hmm. www.ontherisewithaz.org.
Excellent. So the information on how to mm-hmm. like get involved is all up on there for anybody who's interested.
Yes. The donation tab, the mission, you can see what the vision for Remnant on the Rise is, up and coming events. Everything you need to know is on the website.
Cool.
Beautiful. Nice and simple. Well, thank you, Sedona, so much
You're
for coming
welcome.
And
thank
talking
you.
With us. You're like a ray of sunshine. I enjoyed your company. All right. And until next time, guys, have a good one.